Good afternoon, I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 47th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During the show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Linda Nag. Like my guest last week, who was born in Sudan and raised in Ethiopia, Linda was born in Sudan and raised in Egypt. She arrived in Maine in time to start her freshman year at Portland High School. She's now a young adult, working and playing a significant role in her family right here in Portland. Welcome, Linda.
Hi. Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you here on this bright, sunny Sunday.
Thank you for having me.
So can we go back to when you arrived? I'm curious to find out with people what it was like when you arrived in Portland and what your very first impressions were.
Oh, my God. It was cold. I came here, I believe it was January or February, and it was so cold. And I remember that I was telling my mom, like, oh, my gosh, why is it so cold? I've never seen the snow in my life. Yeah. And it was just different, you know? I mean, I didn't really know a lot of people here, and it was, like, being obviously, like, in a different country, so...
Was it what you expected?
No, not at all.
What did you think it would be like?
I thought it was going to be, like, sunny and hot and, like, you know, it's just not, like, not snowing, so, yeah.
Yeah, pretty intense difference from Egypt.
Oh, yeah.
Were you urban in Egypt?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow, big changes. Do you remember your first sight in Portland, or do you have a place that you drive by and think, I wondered what that was when I got here?
I don't know. Like, I lived in Washington Ave, and I remember that, like, we used to drive, like, down the bridge, like, coming to, you know, like, toward downtown and stuff, and I was like, why is the ocean so freezing? Like, why is it, I mean, why does it look like that? Why? I'm like, what is this? Like, what's happening? You know? Yeah.
What languages did you speak growing up, and did you speak any English when you arrived here?
No, not really. My first language, it's Arabic. You know, growing up, I only knew Arabic. But my mom and my, like, the rest of my family, they speak Dinka. I mean, I understand a little bit of Dinka, but I can't speak it. So, yeah.
So your mom spoke to you in Arabic growing up then?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you came here with no English.
No.
And how long did it take before you felt comfortable with your English enough to speak to other kids at school?
Not that long, honestly. No, not that long. I just feel like I'm such a, like, fast learner, and I, you know, I love people. I get along with people. So it's like I tried my best to, like, talk to people and, like, try to, like, get, you know, involved and, like, just, like, in the school, you know, like, doing sports and joining, like, other clubs and, you know, stuff like that in school, so...
Did you find that you were learning English faster than your mother?
Yeah.
That's kind of common, I think. Yeah. For the immigrant kid, they pick it up so quickly because you're in it all day
right.
long.
Right, yeah.
What was that like? Did you end up translating when you had a plumber or...
Yeah, yeah, at some point, yeah. Like, when she has an interview, I mean, like, when she has, like, a doctor appointment or, you know, someone calls the house and, like, you know, I usually, like, you know, pick up the phone and, like, translate to her, so...
Because you're the oldest.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
It makes a special role right there.
Oh, yeah.
So Portland High School is the most diverse high school in the state of Maine with 1,000 students. They come from 41 countries and speak 26 languages. Mm-hmm. At least that's what it says online. I didn't know that off the top of my head. What was it like being an immigrant student in Portland High School? And were there any tricks to finding your way through the system there?
It wasn't hard for me because, like, you know, I know that, like, I knew I wasn't the only immigrant, and there was also there's other kids who spoke the same language as me, you know, they spoke Arabic, so I tried to, like, not, because, like, I knew that if I only speak Arabic at school, I'm not gonna learn English, so I had to find a different group, like, who only English is their first language, and and they became my friends. So, so it was, yeah, it was a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. And you said you joined a lot of groups. Could you tell us what sports you played in high school?
I played soccer. I was a cheerleader and I did wrestling, so.
Cheerleader and wrestling?
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet not a lot of girls were doing wrestling.
No, it was only Noelle and I were the only girls in the team.
For listeners, Noelle's her friend who was on about a month ago.
Right.
So you can listen to Noelle's interview from New Mainers Speak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the two of you took up wrestling. What made you want to go out for the wrestling team?
I really didn't know because I remember that I was telling Noelle, you know, you should try to be a cheerleader. We should, like, you know, try to be cheerleaders. And we did, like, the tryout and stuff. And I don't know, it was just, like, it just got boring to me. So I was like, maybe I want to try something different. So let's try to join the wrestling team. And the first day we got there, the coach was like, are you sure you're in the right place? Because, you know, like, this is not the place you want to. So I was like, yeah. And he was like, are you guys, like, sure? Are you positive? Like, this is what you want to do? And I was like, yeah. I mean, yeah, we're very positive. And the first day of practice, I couldn't walk the next day. My body was just, I felt, and I was like, why am I doing this? I mean, this is so hard. And, you know, and then a week later, I talked to the coach, and he was like, you know, I mean, you just have to take it day by day. And I remember my first match, I was so scared. I was just, you know, I was, like, scared that I was going to get, like, you know, like, I'm going to lose my match, and I'm going to get beat up, and I don't know, I was just so nervous. And, the guys in my team, they were like, you can do this, you know, you can do this, come on, like, you know, and I did really great that day. In my first match, I did really great, and it was just, it was different, it was surprising, so, to me.
It strikes me that perhaps you were wide open to all kinds of new experiences.
Yeah.
That's a big leap. And then you were successful at it. Is there anything you learned in wrestling that you take with you through the rest of your life?
No, I mean, like, I still remember, like, all the moves and stuff, and, you know, I wanted to do wrestling in college, but they didn't have it at SMCC, so, and I don't even think I'm experienced enough to, like, you know, do wrestling in college, so.
Do you always wrestle other females?
Not really.
No.
No. I wrestled a couple of guys, and, you know, obviously they won. I mean, except one that, you know, but, yeah.
You're impressive. I love it. Did the students at Portland High School have friends from different cultural backgrounds commonly?
I'm really not sure. I don't know. Probably. I mean, not like, probably like the kids that who grew up here, not, you know, just like new immigrants and stuff. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
And you and Noelle are from different tribal backgrounds.
Yeah.
Two that are not getting along together so well in South Sudan.
Right.
I picture you the Romeo and Juliet of,
yeah,
of Southern Maine. Here you are, friends in a totally different setting.
Yeah. She's my best friend. She's not just like a best friend to me. She's more like a sister to me, you know. So, I mean, we've been through a lot, like from freshman year to senior year until now. So, yeah.
That's great. You're right there for each other all the time.
Oh, yeah.
It's noted in the literature that adolescents in immigrant families have significant responsibilities related to daily life and family functioning. And mm-hmm. I wonder if you ever found yourself in the position where you were helping your family with cultural awareness. You come home and say, Mom, you know, it's really important that you know people do it this way.
I try. Yeah. I mean, my mom and I mean, you know, obviously my mom has, like, she grew up in a different you know, culture, like, she has, because, like, my mom was born and raised, she was born in South Sudan, and then she was raised in Sudan, so it's, like, she's totally different from where I was raised, so it's, like, we have two different ideas, two different mind thinking, and sometimes, like, tried, and then me, you know, coming here, and now that, like, you know, I went to school, and I traveled, and stuff like that, so it's, like, kind of different, try to, like, bring the idea on the table, because, like, what I'm saying doesn't make sense to her, you know, like, half the time. Like, no, you're not supposed to do this. This is how it should be done. And, you know, it's just, But yeah, I mean, I just think that because we both from like two different generations and two, so it's, yeah.
Well, you make a really good point. This happens between generations all the time where we think, why are you always plugged in?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But it also happens then when you've changed cultures radically like you
mm-hmm.
have.
Yeah.
Can you give an example? Does anything occur to you that is an example of times when she thinks there's a way you should do it and you have a different reality here?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, my mom thinks that, like, for example, going to college is free. But I tell her all the time, like, it's not free, you know? I have to, like, pay, like, you know, I mean, I have to, like, pay, have my, like, buy books and stuff like that and have my classes. And, you know, she's like, no, but college is free. I'm like, no, college is not free, you know? But, like, people tell her, like, different stuff. People be like, you know, college is free, you know, everything is free. And, you know, or, like, for example, like, taking a student loan and... Because once she told me, she's like, you should, like, take student loan and we can, like, buy a house. And I was like, I can't do that. You know? She's like, but I try to, like, be there and, like, explain things to her. Like, this is not how you do this. This is not how this is, you know, should be done. And it's kind of hard sometimes, but I try.
Yeah, it's a huge thing you've done.
Yeah.
Move between these cultures, and she's adjusting all the time, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Takes a lot of flexibility.
Oh, yeah.
And you have four little sisters at home, so I'm wondering how much childcare you've been responsible for and what that's been like for you.
It's hard. I have, you know, I have a 14-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 5-month. So it's a little bit, it's so hard because, you know, I'm growing up and I have so much that, like, I want to do, but at the same time, I have to also look after my sisters, you know, like, I have to set an example for them, you know, I have to, like, always trying to be the perfect older sister, you know, so they won't, like, look at me as, like, a bad example, so it's like, I try to, when I'm away from home, I try to call them and see how they're doing. Like, did you eat? Did you do this? Did you do that? You know? And also, like, when I'm home, they're always right next to me. So, like, sometimes I try to be like, I'm doing homework right now. Can we hang out later? They're like, no, can we watch a movie? And I'm like, you know, yeah. So sometimes I just, like, leave my homework aside and, like, all right, so let's watch a movie. Watch a movie for, like, 2 hours. Or, like, you know, sometimes I try to, like, do their hair. And it's just I feel like I'm their mother sometimes, you know.
Sure.
Yeah. So
it takes a lot of hands on deck with a bunch of little girls.
Yeah.
All girls.
All girls. No boys.
Very powerful female family you've got there.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what it would be like for your family without you there.
I don't know.
Have you ever thought about that, what they might have done, how work might have been different? I mean, because you're there, your mom can go work.
Right.
And if you weren't there, what would happen?
She'd probably have to call off and, like, you know, trying to find a babysitter and stuff. Because when I left Maine for, like, about 2 years. And it was hard for her because, like, no one was, you know, watching after my sisters, and she had to find a babysitter from a babysitter to another babysitter. So it was, like, hard. And she would, like, call me every day, like, when are you coming home? You know, I need you here. I need your support. But I told her, like, what I'm doing, it's for the best, you know, for not just only me, but for my sisters as well and for you. So it's like, it's just hard.
Good. Let's talk about that in just a moment. I wanted to say that if you're just joining us, welcome. You're listening to WMPG, and this is New Mainers Speak. I'm Kate Manahan, and I'm talking with Linda Nag today. She was born in Sudan, raised in Egypt, and she became a certified nursing assistant and a medical assistant during her term in Job Corps. And she's now back in Portland after serving in AmeriCorps as well. I'm wondering how long, you just said you were away from the family for 2 years, working and traveling elsewhere in the U.S. And what was that like for you? What experiences were you gaining that you're going to bring back to your life here?
I gained a really great experience, like, you know, meeting other people and, like, getting along with people. you know, and trying to, like, see the different, like, just the outsider, you know, like, because I lived in Limestone for about a year and a half. And
Limestone, Maine?
Yes. Limestone, Maine.
And what it was... earth drew you to Limestone? Were you at the school there?
Yes. And it was really, yeah, it was freezing. I mean, it's freezing up there. And I met some really great people. You know, I saw the difference, and it was really awesome just living up there. I mean, not the cold side also, but just, you know, pretty much, I don't know, like, just focusing on me and trying to do me and, yeah.
Yeah. So then you joined Job Corps.
Yeah.
And what did you, what were you hoping to get out of that? How did you find your way to that?
My mentor pushed me to do Job Corps. She was like, because after I graduated from high school, I had no idea what I wanted to do. I was just like, you know, I don't know what to do now. You know, like, I'm out of high school, so I was just going to take a year off and just work. So she was like, no, you can't do that. So you have to join Job Corps. And I was like, but I was so scared because, like, it was like going to Limestone. She was like, yeah, you have to go. You know, I mean, she's like a mother and a sister to me as well. So I was like, okay.
How did you meet this mentor?
Through Portland High.
That was part of the club, the mentor mentoring?
Yes.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Are you still in touch with your mentor?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, how cool is that?
Yeah. So she's the one who made me, you know, she was just like, I think you should really join Job Corps. I think you would be a perfect fit. You know, she tried to, like, so... And I listened to her, so she actually drove me all the way there to Limestone.
That's kind. And then, are you glad you did it?
Oh, yeah, I'm so glad.
Oh, good. So she was right about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you went into AmeriCorps after that.
Mm-hmm.
And you went into the Deep South.
Oh, I did, yeah.
Not Southern Sudan, but Southern U.S.
Yes.
I think it's funny we both have a kind of North and South going on here. What was that like, living in the Southern United States?
It was really hard. It was just like, I don't know, it was really not just the heat, because the people was different. You know, they were so different than here. I mean, everybody's nice in the South. Like, you know, you're walking down Walmart, people come and say hi to you and, like, you know, trying to see how you're doing. So it's like... To me, it's just, like, strange. Like, why are you talking to me? Why are you asking me, you know? So it's just, like, it was really different. And but I loved it. Not the heat. I mean, I wouldn't really move, like, to the South. But I just loved the people and their food and stuff, so.
And you were doing some archaeology down there?
I did archaeology. I also, I volunteered with Habitat for Humanity. And we built over... Like, almost about, I can say, like, almost 500 houses for the, yeah, because wow. we did, so it's like, because my first project, it was in Florida, Eustis, Florida, and we did about, like, 8 houses in 2 months, because we worked from, like, 5:45 to 5 p.m. every day. So we were moving, like, we weren't even sitting down, and it was just, it was so hard.
Was it a whole team of AmeriCorps kids that went and did this together?
It was a group. It was a group of us, yeah. It was, in my team, we had, it was 7 of us, and, including my team leader, and then they also had, like, volunteers from, like, the town and stuff, and a lot of volunteers. Like, we get a lot of volunteers every day. About up to like 180 volunteers a day. So that got the job really fast. Like, we got the job done.
I imagine you were using all those wrestling muscles.
Oh, yeah.
On your house building projects.
Yeah. Yeah.
What kinds of skills did you walk away with building all these houses?
A lot of skills. Like, I know how to put siding and I know how to do roofing and, you know, and a lot of stuff. Yeah.
What a win-win. Yeah. Habitat for Humanity is.
Yeah, you know? I love Habitat for Humanity. They're so nice. I think it's a really good organization. It's a really good nonprofit organization, and it's so helpful to, like, other people, you know. So, yeah.
Really?
I love it.
Creative and productive. When did you know that you were interested in doing healthcare? And I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about your hopes and dreams with healthcare.
I knew that growing up because my grandmother is a nurse. And so growing up, you know, I knew that I was going to be either a doctor or a nurse. And, like, that's something that I want to walk away with, you know. And because I care. I really care for people, you know. And it's just I didn't see myself doing anything else than being a nurse or, you know, so it's like, or a doctor. So, and besides, I have, like, little sisters, you know, so I have to, like, be there and, like, see just to help my family. And especially, like, these days, it's hard to, like, get health insurance and all that. So, and they need a lot of nurses in the United States, in South Sudan as well. So, yeah.
It's a strategic choice because you can provide for yourself, but it's also kind of a passion.
Oh, yeah.
You.
Yep.
And what kind of nursing do you see yourself doing?
Surgical nurse. Yeah.
Is that what your grandmother is?
No.
What kind of nursing does she do?
I really don't remember, but I know, I think she was more of like a traveling nurse, but I'm not sure. Yeah.
And does she still live in Sudan?
Yeah.
And she's still nursing?
No. She retired like about a couple years ago.
Hmm. She must be very proud of you.
Yeah.
And excited that you'd share her interest in nursing.
Oh, yeah.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Have you ever gone back to Sudan?
No, I haven't. I was actually thinking, my mom and I had this talk about a couple of weeks ago, and she actually wanted me to go down in the summer to Sudan and visit my grandmother, and, you know, but I'm not sure because I want to take summer classes, because, you know, and stuff like that, so, but I haven't decided yet.
Hmm. Yeah. And then we had talked earlier a little bit about your interest in the U.S. military.
Yeah.
Could you tell us what you're thinking with that?
After I finish college, I want to go in as an officer. So, to be a nurse, you know. Yeah.
You're going to have a global career, aren't you?
Yeah.
Help people everywhere you go.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if your sisters will be interested in nursing.
No, she's not.
No?
No, she wanted to be a lawyer, so.
Oh, well, you've got a lot of bases covered.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's great. Is there anything else you want to add? Things you're thinking about lately? Other hopes and dreams for the future of your life here in Maine?
I mean, besides, you know, going to school and finishing my college and just hopefully settle down one day and, you know, have my own family. So, yeah.
I wish you well. You're an amazing young woman and a generous and caring spirit, and you have really fabulous English skills as well.
Thank you.
Thank you for being on New Mainers Speak today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. I'm Kate Manahan in the studio with my guest, Linda Nagg. You have been listening to New Mainers Speak, and we will close today's program with a song Linda has selected. Can you introduce the song to our listeners?
Called The Stick With You. It's pretty much about, like, you know, when you're in a relationship with someone and they don't want to be public about it, but you want to be out, you know, like, in public with, you know, your boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever. And it's kind of like having a closed-door, like, relationship, not, you know, trying to be in public pretty much, I guess.
Great.
Yeah. I mean, I love this song because, I mean, I'm not in that, like, situation right now, but I guess, I don't know, I just love this song.
Great. Thank you for sharing it with us.
Thank you.
I don't want to go another day, so I'm telling you exactly what is on my mind. Seems like everybody's breaking up, throwing their love away, but I know I got a good thing right here. That's why I say, hey, nobody gonna love me better. I'ma stick with you forever. Nobody gonna take me higher. I'ma stick with you. You know how to appreciate me. I'ma stick with you, my baby. One love. Your charming personality, I love your sensitivity. Mm-hmm.
you take a second, cause I feel your love in essence only. When I hear your voice speak and I feel your body heat, love every minute of it. You're like the fresh air when it feels like no one cares. That's why I say your name.
Nobody's gonna love me better. I must stick with you forever.
All I'm here to say is that I'll be right here for forever in the day.
Nobody gonna love me better.